I've never seen you look.
You should take advantage of that.
Truthfully, yeah, that's great.
I have found Ruthie Foster at home. You write about home on the new album. You sing about it, certainly. Is that how you regenerate, find your home, Ruthie, when you go home and just do the things you want to do?
Yeah, it really is. It's how I keep my balance, you know, because I do have a family. I have a partner and a three-year-old. Well, she's going to be three. So it's a lot of energy, and it rejuvenates me in that way. And, yeah, I get a chance to get my full workouts because I do like, you know, staying in shape and getting a chance to hang out at Austin and visit my friends and, you know, get some social time in, too. So, yeah, it's really good for me. And then I'm ready to go back out.
You mean
on the road and,
actually having a life within the business?
Yeah, imagine that.
Well, you know how the business and the road can pull families apart. You have to work at it. So, I'm thrilled that you're coming our way and you're bringing Charlie Musselwhite with you. That's a great. I've been noticing your double bills lately. Eric Bibb, of course. You've been out there with a number of other singers, right?
I have, yeah. I've toured with Warren Haynes, the Blind Boys of Alabama. Now, a lot of, I guess you could call them acts, but a lot of folks and fellas and gals that I just love. And, you know, getting a chance to be out on the road and hang out with them is a nice plus. And I have to add, it's not like I'm bringing Charlie. I think Charlie's bringing me on this one. I love Charlie Musselwhite, too. So getting a chance to be anywhere in a room with his spirit. He's such a beautiful spirit, not just his music, but just his person, the personality. It's just a joy to be around. So I'm really looking forward to coming up there myself, yeah.
I also love, I know when we talk about voices, I think not so much as of a singing voice, but I think of the way he plays that harmonica. It's like a voice.
Yeah, you know, and I have a wonderful guitar coach that I see when I'm home, and that's one of the things we talk about with instruments. You know, being an instrumentalist, it really comes back to the voice. And if you can play as if you're singing, and that just involves not just music, but the those moments in between the notes, you know, and that's breathing. And Charlie has that down. It's just beautiful the way he sings when he plays, basically. Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing. You and I agree on that absolutely, totally. And that is the space between the notes. I first noticed it with Miles Davis, because that's what he did. What he chose not to play while the rest of the band moved on was quite remarkable. A lot of tension and a lot of beautiful tension in it. Anyway, I want to ask you about Let It Burn, or Keep It Burning, rather. It's been a year, excuse me, it's been a year since that album was released. And the songs, as you well know, take on a life of their own. Which ones have sort of pushed their way to the front, to your consciousness and through your heart?
Well, definitely the arrangement that I did of Ring of Fire has kind of come to the front of the set list, the top of the set list. Even though it's a ballad, it's something that I'm really proud of, the arrangement that I did with that, and just my love for country and country music and for Johnny Cash. It gives me a chance to talk to the audience a little bit about that in my background. It's not just blues, but it's in Texas, you know, the music here is about everything. And, you know, we're getting ready to have this big festival, South by Southwest, next week, and that tells you everything about Austin. We have everything here. And Ring of Fire definitely, you know, brings me back to that country music sound that I grew up listening to on the radio. I guess another one would be Aim for the Heart. I wrote that one actually with Bonnie Raitt in mind. And so I love playing that one and seeing just how close I can call her feeling on that one whenever I do it. That's quite a few of them.
Actually. Let me suggest, I love both of your choices there. Did you ever see John Cash in concert?
No, I never okay. got
you. Have you seen the Black Keys?
I haven't, no.
But Everlasting Light is one of their tunes, is it not?
Yes, it is.
I love what you did with that.
Yeah, we know it kind of happened by accident. My producer, John Chalou, as we all know, produced John Hyatt and Blind Boys and right. Ben Harper. He just basically kind of just announced that was going to be the next song that we're getting ready to do. And, you know, we thought it was time for lunch. So we're just thinking, okay, well, let's just have a good time with it. And it kind of turned into this hallelujah.
Gospel rave up. Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome how it just turned out. And, yeah, a lot of that, what you hear, it's just that first take that we did. And it was just right on.
I think this is, you know what? I sometimes a third ear, so to speak, carries a bit more weight than the people who are actually in the room, because we hear it without any of the preconceived notions. This is fabulous work you're doing. Did you carry that away when you finished? You thought, like I just said, well, you know, the reason why I'm at CKUA is because they're doing radio the way I heard it in my head. Is this the way you heard your music in your heart and your head?
You know, it really is. Chalou really connected with what I wanted to do with this record. And I think a lot of it also had some to do with the fact that I didn't play. So I wasn't in my head about the music. It was really about showing up as a singer, a song interpreter. So I went in with all of these incredible voices that I studied over the years. Like you may hear a little bit of, you may hear a lot of Mavis Staples.
Yep.
And Cassandra Wilson, who I just love her phrasing. You know, just a little bit of everybody. Oh, Nona Hendricks. You know, I just kind of throw a little bit of something from everybody I've listened to over the years into this record as a singer. And I remember standing outside of the studio there in New Orleans when we were done and talking to my manager and saying, this was fun. I've never had this much fun in the studio. Yeah. So, well, yeah, I walked away feeling really good about it.
It shows up in the grooves, Ruthie. Ruthie Foster and Charlie Musselwhite will be in Edmonton March the 17th at the Jube. That's a Monday night. And then in Calgary on the Wednesday at the Jack Singer. That's a great 1-2 punch coming your way. You have to experience what's going to happen when you sit down in that room and enjoy yourself in a great room that you know you can hear everything. For example, it's unfortunate that the Blind Boys can't be with you, but the sound of the Blind Boys of Alabama on Titanic is quite remarkable. And I'm wondering, were you both in the studio at the same time? And if you were, what was it like being surrounded by that harmony, that hug that they give you?
Yeah, you know, that's an awesome question because, yeah, we were in the studio at the same time. I did not want to miss being in the studio when they showed up because they have that kind of spirit when they walk through the door. You know, the place just lit up when they showed up. And I think they were only slated to do maybe one or two songs, but they hung out for a while, and we kind of, you know, made them sit in their chairs and bring them some lunch, whatever they needed, so that they could pop a few more, you know, a few more notes on a few other tracks. It was awesome. You know, in fact, a couple of the guys, they would sing in places where they would, you know, Chalou would tell them not to sing, but it turned out it was awesome that, you know, that they did, because that was part of their spirit, is to be able to just sing wherever they wanted to, in between the spaces and a little bit of testifying here and there. And the funny thing is we were doing Titanic, and there was this huge thunderstorm coming through New Orleans. And, of course, we all get a little nervous when you're in New Orleans when the thunderstorm comes through. But, you know, you can hear at the end of the track, one of the guys, he noticed a big clap of thunder at the end of the song. He says, mm-hmm, well, God's moving. Mm-hmm. I love that. So we kept that in, you know. That's all about spirit.
I love the fact you did William Bell's You Don't Miss Your Water. I mean, that's a great song, and to have him there.
Yeah. Yeah, William was really just came to New Orleans just to see what we were doing with the song. He and I had just written together, and in fact, I've got a cut coming out on my new album that we wrote together. And so he wanted to just come hang out, and he listened to what we had already put down and just throw a little something in there. And so we went back in and recut it, the vocals. And I was having such a good time, I actually forgot to sing in a couple of spots, so I had to go and redo my take. But he is an incredible singer, just powerful singer, I guess is the best word for it.
Sure.
When he sings, you can feel it in the room, and his phrasing is just unmistakable. And those are the singers I treasure. And let alone get a chance to sit across from them and have them grin back at me, just grinning.
We're talking to Ruth.
Love it.
We're talking to Ruthie Foster at her home, and this is Mulligan Stew, CKUA. When you recorded Pete Seeger's "If I Had a Hammer," you would have had no way of knowing that he wouldn't be with us a year later.
No way of knowing that, no. But I did get a chance to meet with Pete and get a chance to sing as a part of his community choir that he would put together.
Right.
When I lived in the New York area, so I also, amongst so many of us, got a chance to learn so much from him, even just down to how to, not just performance, but how to get an audience really into what you're saying and feeling what you're saying. I treasure that time that I had with him, too. I was one of those people that after everybody left, I would just hang out and talk to him, just get him to talk to me and tell me stories.
I kept reading about his musical legacy, which is undeniable, but his legacy off the stage was equally as compelling. I mean, he just didn't, say what he had to say on stage. He took that message to the streets and to the media.
Yeah, it's very true. And even then, he was working on he was part of that movement that was part of cleaning up the Hudson and getting that going and starting that festival up the river there. So yeah, he was relentless on people just doing the right thing.
By the way, I got to tell you that Long Time Gone, David Crosby's Long Time Gone, mm-hmm. absolutely fabulous read. Fabulous. Is it one of those songs that you always wanted to sing, or was it just suggested?
It was suggested, actually. I went in the vocal booth for that one, not knowing where it was gonna come out of my mouth with that one. So phrasing, I just kind of relaxed about it, and gosh, that really worked. I love the tune. That's another one of those songs that's moved up to the top of my set list.
Oh man,
it's just really good to sing, and it's fun to sing, and it's still relevant.
I love that line in Everlasting Light: "Love is the coal that makes this train roll." I love that.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's beautiful. So I want to ask you just a couple of general things, Ruthie, if I could, and that is your place in today's music. You keep being honored by a number of awards. I only have an hour show. I can't read them all. Your place now, are you comfortable where you are? Do you keep pushing the envelope forward, or is this where you say, I make my stand here?
It comes back to that word I used earlier, and it's balance. I am very fortunate to have come this far, especially in this business and music. But I do push myself, and anyone that works with me and has been around me, they know that. It may look easy, like I'm kind of hanging out, but I am planning my next project while I'm singing and grinning all the time. Because I think that's what we're here to do. We're here to, to be the best we can be, And, I call it living out loud. I'm always pushing myself, but not to the point where I can't have fun.
Sure.
I do have fun.
And what is that next project? You mentioned a new album.
Yeah, I just got out of the studio with Michelle Indigocello.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Michelle produced my next CD that's coming out in this fall, around August or September. And so we're looking at getting the final mixes done and getting a few things tightened up on that. That's my next big project.
Michelle Indigocello was just one of the best bass players I ever heard, and a wonderful singer. So are you off in another direction?
Actually, it's It's kind of a cousin to what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very similar, but the instrumentation is different. Of course, she's playing on it. We've got Doll Bramall on it. We're trying to get Toshi Regan in there. So, yeah, it'll be really interesting.
It would be nice to, but do you need a single out of each album? Do you look for something that would cross borders?
I don't, actually. I look at it as a whole, the project as a whole.
Sure.
I leave that up to my label, which I trust, and we usually get together on what that's going to be if it has to happen. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a way to introduce the project, introduce the record. So, yeah, it's good to pull something from the record. So. And I have no idea what that's going to be.
You know,
as part of my project today is to give it another listen.
You know, that Monday that you play in Edmonton is March the 17th, it's St. Patrick's Day. And I'm thinking, when you make up your set list, you might. Do you remember the great version of Tooraloora Loora that Van Morrison and Richard Manuel and the band did at the last waltz? I mean, it completely rewrote this great old Irish drinking folk song. So maybe there's one in there for you on St. Patrick's Day. I will be I'll be in New Zealand when you're singing.
Oh wow!
Looking for a pub.
Looking for a pub.
Looking for a pub.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll find it.
Do you know if we'll see you this summer or this fall in terms of the festivals in and around Western Canada?
Western Canada. You know, we don't have anything on the calendar right now. I know we're up in Canada, but we're in a different part of Canada in the fall. So I think we're over in Ontario. So, but, you know, there's always time and there's always room and space in my calendar, so... Stay tuned to RuthieFoster.com.
Yes.
Probably.
That's the way to go. And you know, I just one comment I'll leave you alone. And that is that you mentioned Mavis Staples and what an influence she has been, well, to a lot of singers. But do you ever, I can ask this question because I'm not you. There are now a couple of generations of singers who are looking at you, listening to you, and deciding that that's the way they want to go. Isn't that great?
Wow, that is great. I wasn't aware of that, but that's really nice. Yeah. Well, you know, if they're like me, you know, you take that person and you go back to who influenced them, and you find where the root of it all is, mm-hmm. and that's what's important. That's what led me to Mississippi John Hurt and all of that. So, yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's quite an honor. Didn't know that.
Well, that's your legacy, and you're still writing it, so that's the best part about it. Thank you for giving up some of your home life to talk to us, and we look forward to seeing you in Alberta and that new music, and we'll keep playing it because we love you here at CKUA.
All right. Thank you so much.
Ruthie Foster on Mulligan Stew, CKUA.